Does Dalit normally have that much energy? Yes, okay. I've never seen him in the spaces like this. I think, oh my, to exude so much energy and life and honour to incredible leaders in the room is just outstanding. I am so privileged and excited to be with you today. Just excited because I am passionate about changing the conversations that we have in order to actually bring freedom, to unlock and release the people that we're in conversations with. So it's quite interactive today. So if you have expected to kind of sit and listen and take notes, great. You are going to be doing that in groups and interacting with me and other people all along the way. So just to pre-warn, introverts, it's okay. Extroverts are like, woohoo, let's go. Just to give you a bit of a cup, I am an introvert. So come after days like today, I like head straight to the beach and just relax for a little bit of time because I need to actually regroup an introvert and have my introvert time. So introverts, I get you. I've got your back in this. It's not going to be too bad, I promise. Let me go through some of this. Part of the heartbeat of Christian Coaching Institute is to sneeze the coaching virus across Australia, in particular the Christian coaching virus. It kind of has this, what on earth? But we get it, don't we? You know, someone sneezes and then, you know, you catch the sneeze and you catch the sneeze and you catch the sneeze, and it kind of has this multiplying and flow-on effect. And it's not about one person or one organisation that actually owns it. It's about that sense of actually how do we multiply the conversations and have intentional conversations that bring unlocking and releasing. So we're actually going to do a bit around coaching today because coaching is one of the ways that actually help us to have intentional releasing conversations. But what I do have to say is being a part of the Christian Coaching Institute, as well as being part of the International Coaching Federation, we do need to say that you can't walk out of this 1 hour time and go, I'm now a coach. What you can say is that, you know, I've learned some coaching skills with that. So that's just part of the disclaimer that I need to put up the front there. But this is me and my family. As you can see from Adam down the front there, he does not have that much hair. He is wearing a wig, and this photo was actually taken a little while ago because my kids are now, Toby is 16 and Lily is 13. So as you can see from the photo, it was taken a little while ago. However, this is the photo that kind of best encapsulates my family. And so I haven't been able to replicate that yet. Because you'll notice we're all in green T-shirts, and so we were at a sports event at our church. It was around the Olympics, and so we had created these T-shirts, and on the front we'd got imprinted the B team, the Butler team. And as you'll notice, there's a number of medallions around our neck. So we won a significant amount of the events at our church sports night. So our family is highly competitive. We love to give things a go. We love the idea of adventure and having a crack at things. So part of my hope today is that you actually take part of my DNA and give it a crack today. Have a go, be adventurous, and see what might unfold if you're able to change the conversations that you have. So what I'd first like you to do in groups of the first group exercise of many today, what I'd love you to do is to get into groups of twos or threes, and I want you to chat through what has been your best coaching experience. Could be a sports coach, could be a leadership coach or a life coach, could any type of coach that you've experienced, a mentor. What's been the best coaching experience? What did they do that you liked so much, some of the attitudes and behaviours, and how did they make you feel? So groups of twos or threes, have a chat about that for just a couple of moments. Okay. Now, we're going to be a little adventurous and I want to get a little bit of feedback from you guys. Now, obviously, we can't have something from everybody in the room, But let's hear from a few of you. You need to call out quite loudly and boldly for me. Is I want to know that the feelings, that third question, how did they make you feel? Give me some words.
Valued.
Empowered. Enthused. Encouraged. Yeah, that my wording, my spelling's going to get shorter as we go.
Bigger vision.
Challenged. Yeah. Yeah, special, equipped. Inspired. Happy. Love it. Success.
New ideas.
Yeah. New ideas.
Capable.
What was that one? No?
Heard.
Heard.
Confident.
Clarify. Yeah, getting clarity. Loved. Beautiful. Hopefully you can see that. You probably could, but you can't read my writing anyway. I don't know about you, but I want the people that I meet with and the people that I lead to walk away from a conversation with me feeling these things. I want them to feel valued, get clarity, feel loved, inspired. But it's funny how many conversations that we're in that we don't experience that, and that others might not experience that of us. So what is Christian coaching? Because it is different to business coaching and it is different to life coaching. So business coaching sits in the idea of goals and KPIs, making sure you hit the finance goals or the numbers goals or whatever that might be. However, we work in the church. We're in the people industry, not in the numbers industry. And so there is something different around Christian coaching. But before I tell you what the definition is, I've got the definition of Christian coaching up here. So what I'd love you to do in those groups again, just give you a couple of minutes. I want you to unjumble that definition and see if you can come up with the definition of Christian coaching. So back into those groups and see what you can come up with. Does anyone think they've got it? Yeah? Hands up if you think your group has got it. Few of you, it's pretty tricky, hey? Let me get you out of your misery. So, some of you got Christian coaching is an ongoing, intentional conversation that empowers a person or group to fully live out God's calling. So go back into those groups again for a moment and chat through that definition. What word or words stand out for you and why? Have a chat in those groups. What word or words stand out for you and why? Okay. Let me hear from a few people. I'd love to hear what word stands out for you as you look at that definition and why. Empowers? How come? So I'm going to try and summarise. If you're empowered, I probably should have organised a mic, Dalit. I'm so sorry. But empowering others to, therefore, if you're empowering others, then you're helping them to be and do all that they're called to be. Great. Next one.
Conversation.
How come?
Because it's a dialogue.
It's a dialogue. Yeah, it's not just I'm going to talk at you. Yeah. Yeah.
It's ongoing, so it shows that there's a relationship there.
Yeah, ongoing relationship.
It's not a one-time conversation.
Yeah, it's not the once-off coaching. There's that relational connection to it. Beautiful. Yeah.
We like intentional.
Yeah, so intentional was the word because it's an intentional conversation. It will happen. It's not an accidental conversation. Great. Isn't it incredible as we look at the definition, we actually notice that different people see different parts of that and what kind of stirs within them. But we have this idea of what is coaching. So coaching is a relationship of empowerment. It's empowering the person that God has placed on the other side of the table, on the other side of the room, on the other side of the screen. About 90 to 90% of my coaching is on Zoom. So I work nationally. It's too hard for me to fly up to, you know, Toowoomba every month. And so I'm on Zoom, but 90 to 95% of my coaching is on Zoom, and it's brilliant. It works well. But it is a relationship of empowerment, of empowering the person on the other side of the table. It's also a specific kind of mentoring. In this day and age, we actually have the words mentoring and coaching, and they often get interchanged and interlinked a lot, and we kind of go, well, what's the difference? What are they? Well, coaching actually sits as a subset of mentoring. So coaching is a particular discipline within the mentoring overarching banner. What other types of mentoring might there be? What else could you come up with? Trainer? Yeah. I'm going to put pastor in there. Yeah. Counselor? Spiritual director? Any parents in the room? I reckon parenting is a whole lot of mentoring, isn't it? Yes, absolutely. Yeah, as a friend. And so, I mean, we could come up with a heap more, and I've got a few that I prepared earlier for you. Discipler, spiritual guide or director, coach, counsellor, teacher, sponsor, contemporary model, historical model, and divine contact. I actually want to touch base on those bottom three for a moment, because this idea of a contemporary model of mentoring, we live in a world that has global access, where people are writing books and podcasts and sermons and blogs, and things are just getting out there all the time. And so we have people that when they release something, we're like, yes, and you follow it and you devour it. And you kind of take on everything that they read or, everything that they write or things that they say, and they are your mentor. However, you may never have been in the same room as them, let alone sitting opposite them at a table. So we have this new concept of mentoring in a contemporary model where people may not ever meet their mentor. This second one, which is the historical model, is a person whose life is, they're no longer with us, but their life and leadership actually speaks volumes to us. So for me, I spent 3 years of my master's looking at the Apostle Paul and particularly his leadership around emerging leaders. And so for me, I would classify Paul as a historical mentor for me. I looked at his leadership and his life to work out what does he do and not do? How does it work and not work? You too might have someone that you kind of admire and see, but they're no longer with us, but they're still a historical mentor. And this third one, which is a divine contact, which is those times and moments where you're going this direction and this way. Then all of a sudden, someone comes in for a moment and says something, does something, communicates in some way to you, and you were heading in this direction, and suddenly your trajectory is completely changed and you're in a totally different way. So there is these different sorts of mentors that we can have in our life. And coaching sits as a particular discipline underneath the mentoring banner. But let me give you the very short way of being able to understand the difference between mentoring and coaching. All of these are needed, but mentoring is generally someone who is older and has information and expertise in a particular area, and the mentor is giving that information to the mentee. So they are giving that expertise, insight, information to them. A coach does not need to have any experience or ideas in that particular field because there is the belief that they know their context, they know their family, they know their life group best. So how do we draw out of them all of the things that God is doing in and through them? So mentoring is about putting in, coaching is about drawing out. So let's go back to this idea of what coaching is. So coaching focuses on learning instead of teaching. You know, that idea of how do you actually create an environment for someone to figure it out for themselves? Self-discovery is key. Now, not your self-discovery as the coach or the leader, but actually helping them to get self-discovery. It's like, ooh, not that sense of, ooh, that's fun. I wonder if I poke that and see what happens there and what I can discover. It's much more about actually how do you create a conversation and environment for them to discover much more about themselves. Listening is essential. We live in such a noisy, frantic, chaotic world. One of the greatest gifts that we can offer people is to just listen. Have you ever been in that conversation with someone and you know that they are completely present with you? And you just feel safe and secure because they are actually in your corner because they're listening. They don't need to have the right answers, the right advice, the right input, or the right way forward. They just listen. We've probably also all been in a space where someone hasn't listened to us. I was speaking at a youth conference a number of years ago, and I'd taken my kids with me. Lily would have been about 7, maybe 8 years old at the time. Now, Lily is different to the rest of our family, isn't that? She is an external processor. She is an extrovert. The other 3 of us are introverts. So she is the loudest and most talkative in our household. So we turn up to this youth camp and the youth pastor asked her, hey, you know, how was her day? Or I can't even remember what the question was. Whatever the question was, Lily had a really long answer to that question. And so she talked and rattled off everything that she needed to. Now, I noticed about halfway through the conversation, the youth pastor had switched off. He wasn't listening. Didn't faze Lily. She kept going, talked a whole lot longer. Finished the conversation. He needed to go off and prep what he needed to do. But Lily turned to me and she said, he stopped listening to me, didn't he? I said, what makes you say that, Lil? And she unpacked what she saw in that person, in him actually switching out. As a 7-year-old, she picked that up. You know what's really bad about this story? Is I got 3/4 of the way through this story once and realised that the pastor that I was talking about was in the room. Talk about awkward. I am trying to dig myself out of that hole and trying to, you know, neutralise it. Anyway, to his credit, he came up to me at the lunchtime break and said, Kai, you know that story? Was that me? And I'm like, yep. He said, I remember that. And I've actually changed my leadership since then. I thought, oh, wow. I hate those moments. So now when I think through my stories, I just do the quick scan before I lean into them as to where I'm going to go. But this idea of listening is essential. In coaching, you're actually sitting at around 70% of the listening. And that is part of the power of coaching, of the changing of your conversations, is because you listen. Actually choosing to stop and be present as God is present with us. So let's actually look and look at these two passages here. Because as we look at coaching, it actually sits on 2 foundational elements that sit in Genesis and the Gospels. So if we go right back to Genesis chapter 3, we have Adam and Eve are in the garden and they've done the bit of a dodgy with an apple. And Adam goes into hiding. And there's a question that God asks. And he says, Adam, where are you? Now, I don't know about you, but I am tipping that the creator of the universe knew exactly where Adam was. So why does he ask this question? He asked the question for Adam's benefit, not for God's benefit. Adam, where are you physically? Where are you spiritually? Where are you emotionally? Where are you relationally? Where are you? A key part of crucial conversations, of coaching conversations, is actually helping people figure out where are they? Help them to get clarity on what is actually going on in their world. Asking the questions to help them to figure out where they are. Now let's fast forward to the Gospels. And Jesus is walking through a town and he comes to the pool of Bethesda. And he notices that there's a cripple there, and there's been a cripple there for 38 years. And he comes to the cripple and he says, "What do you want?" The cripple says, "Oh, I can't get into the pool. There's nobody there to be able to pick me up and get me in. When the waters stir, everyone else gets in before me. And so I can't get to the water." Jesus asks, "You know, what do you want?" He thinks he wants to just get in the water. What he really wants is to be healed. So these are two questions. Where are you and what do you want? It's a key balance of what Christian coaching is. Helping people figure out where they are and helping people figure out what they want. What do they really want? So, Christian coaching. What it does is draws out what the Holy Spirit puts in. It is sit with the understanding that every believer already has an advisor, and that advisor is the Holy Spirit. So how do we tap in to what God is already doing in their life and figure out through the three of us what is going on, where they are, and what do they want? So it's that sense of God is at work in Christian coaching. God is at work in our conversations. So how do we be intentional with those conversations and partner with what God is already doing? But sometimes we hit a spot where we have those bad coaching or bad conversations with someone. Now, I've got a friend of mine, and I got her to do this demonstration with me. So it is a demonstration of me doing a demonstration with someone else. So you just got me all over again, I'm sorry. But it is the best replica. I could have brought Dalit up for that, but I thought, I won't put you under that pressure with this. But let's have a look at five bad coaching demonstrations. I've asked Kim to come up and have a little bit of fun. We're going to give you five different demonstrations of coaching. Thankfully, I'm going to be the coachee, and Kim's going to be my coach today. And you're going to be amazing.
I am, so this is my moment.
You're coaching.
Oh, hi, Kylie. Sorry. How have you been? What's going on?
Good. Ah, oh, I'm so excited to be at Arrow today.
Yeah, do you know, I went to Arrow as well.
Did you?
And I love Arrow. I've been doing it for so many years. Like, Arrow, for me personally, has just been such an incredible experience.
Yeah, it is. It's so good.
Yeah, because I love the people there. I love it. I just love it. I just learn and I grow. And I just keep thinking, you know, Arrow is amazing. I'm so blessed to be here. That's, yeah.
Good.
All right. Number two.
Hi, Kylie. How you going?
Hi, great, Kim.
What's going on in your world?
Oh, I've got to write a budget this week.
Oh my goodness, you must be feeling so bummed about that.
Yeah. Everybody hates budgets.
Yeah. Everybody hates budgets. They're so boring. Oh, that would be awful.
Yeah, it's not.
And I bet you're worried about what it is.
Yeah.
You have to, you know. Oh yeah, like I can totally understand how you feel.
Yeah, it's a 3-year budget, so that's a little trickier. But I think I've got it.
Yeah. Well, I think budgets generally, like, they shouldn't be 3 years. So there should be two or something like that. So maybe, I don't know, I think you maybe need to sort of reconsider what you're doing.
Okay, all right.
I'm glad you came to me about that, actually. Yeah. Hi, Kylie. I keep forgetting to do the hello. I'm not good at that bit. Hi, Kylie, how's your week been?
Yeah, great, actually. We've got a fundraising proposal that we've got to have due in
this week. We've got a great leader who's doing it, but there's just so much work I've got to do this week. Yeah. And I'm here at Arrow today.
You know what you should do?
What?
What you should do is just... So who's your upline?
Me.
Okay. Well, you should just do the... like, in terms of making the plan, whatever, just make other people do the stuff. Just... offload it all.
All?
Yeah,
okay.
That's what you should do.
Okay.
You definitely should do that.
But they don't know how to do it.
Oh, no, that's okay. You should just give them the work anyway, just as long as you don't have to do it. That's fine.
It's good empowering of leaders.
I never know what's going to come out of these talks.
Hi, Carly. How are you? Yeah. How's your week been?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, having a great week. Spent last week up on the Gold Coast and just so much that's buzzing around in my head from that.
Yeah, of course, you'll be wanting to reflect, though, on all the learning that's happening there. Is that the main... That would be the main issue?
Not today.
Well, I mean, it's probably important, though, that you do think about what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I should. Yeah, I should. At some point. Yeah.
So what was happening on the Gold Coast?
So we had some great speakers. So Mark Sayers was there. He was awesome. Learned so much from Mark. Found him incredible, and just the insight into Australian culture and stuff was amazing.
Yeah, I was more wondering what happened at the Gold Coast in terms of the theme park.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was...
Okay.
Hi, Carly. How are you doing?
Hi, Kim. Good, thanks. Have you got any watch?
Yeah, I do. So, what are you saying?
I'd love to be able to talk through today about... Sorry, you're right.
It's got this thing where you turn the knob and it makes a noise.
Oh.
Sorry. Keep going.
I'd love to be able to just to talk through. I've got just a couple of staff members that are here and I need to be able to train and develop them.
Yeah. I was good at that one.
Okay. Okay, so what you find there was these five key areas was it's all about me, making assumptions, giving advice, leading questions, and then plainly just not listening. So I'd love you to actually find a different partner for this next exercise. And what I'd like you to chat through is a time that you were given advice that you didn't agree with. So chat to a different partner, a time that you were given advice that you didn't agree with. Okay. So I'm going to take us... You're having great conversations, aren't you? So I want to take us to that feeling space again. When you were given advice that you didn't agree with, how did that make you feel? How did that make you feel?
Annoyed,
yes.
Irrelevant.
Yeah. What was that one? Frustrated, yeah. Defiant. Is that what you said? Okay, that's what I heard anyway. Yes.
Undermined.
Yep, undermined. Yeah. You switched off or they switched off?
Both.
Suppressed. Oh, yeah.
Upset.
Upset, yeah. Pardon? There was two at the same time. I'll go that side first.
Let down.
And who was the one that was here?
Unappreciated.
Yeah. Now I know that none of the conversations that you're in would ever this happen. But I know it happens in mine, unintentionally, because we think that we have awesome advice, and I've got some important things that you actually need to know. But isn't it interesting what we experience on the other side of that? In that the difference between advice and asking a question is the difference between the two feelings that we talked about. So if I'd had the other one, flip back to the feelings that we talked around earlier compared to the feelings that we've written up here. We want to have conversations that people leave our conversations feeling equipped, empowered, valued, important, to feel courageous and bold that they can actually give it a go, that they can transform their family, their life, their work, that they can transform their relationship with God or their kids. The way we have conversations with people can actually transform them. Coaching is a form of discipleship and a form of leadership. Because you changing, simply changing your conversations can have a significant impact on your life group, on your marriage, on your family, on your friends. If you stop and pause and listen and ask some questions. But coaching isn't just around what you do, that next step and action. Christian coaching balances these two spaces of enhancing skills and performance and facilitating personal growth. Competency, character, doing, being. Coaching is not all about the action or the skills or the competency. There are some spots for that. But it is also about who you are or who they are. On the inside, they're working on their character, working on who God is calling them to be. So coaching, the coaching conversation balances these two out beautifully. And so good coaching is not the art of giving good advice, but the art of asking good questions. Just pause and ask a curious question instead of a statement, and it can begin to change your conversations and change the impact that you have on those that are around you. So let's quickly look at what good questions are. They're easily understood in that sense. They're not having to go, I don't know what you mean. They're shorter. They're precise, short questions. Can be answered briefly in around 3 minutes. Now, this does depend on who you're talking to. Because there are some people that I ask a question to and half an hour later, they're still talking. So it does depend on the person. But again, part of that relational conversation is actually understanding who has God placed on the other side of the table. How do they work? Are they an external processor or an internal processor? Are they an introvert? Are they an extrovert? Are they big picture or detailed? How has God created them? And figuring that out can actually help you to ask really significant and powerful questions. Good questions require thought. So you ask a question and someone goes, good question. You have permission to go, woohoo! Because you've taken them to the edge of what they currently haven't thought through yet, into a new space and new discovery. It enables self-disclosure for them to get clarity. Half of the issues within Christian leaders in Australia is the fact that they've got so much stuff going on up here, they have no space to actually process and get clarity of all the stuff that's in their mind. They just need a place to kind of get it out of here and they know what to do. Most people actually know what to do. They just need a space to unpack all that's going on and figure it out for themselves. So we can create conversations that do that and encourages reflection, what's going on, and refocus. Where am I going? What's God asking? What do I need to do next? So there's a reflection piece and a refocusing piece. What we do have is this paradigm shift, because a whole heap of, let's just call it my study, okay? My study is about telling, directing, trying to figure out how to preach the right sermon or exegetical a passage. There's not a whole lot for me around how it is to lead people or lead an organization. And so there's a whole lot around this telling spot. But we actually need to move to what it is to be the trainer, encourager, equipper, and empowerer. There is this paradigm shift that we need to make in our conversations. What a person discovers, they own. What they're told, they resist. We all know this. Those of us who have had toddlers and we've said to our toddler, don't touch that flame, it's hot. What do? Touch the flame, because they've got to discover it for themselves. And we know that. When we get the opportunity to able to figure it out for ourselves, we have much greater ownership and buy-in than if someone just tells us what to do. There is something in human nature that when we're told what to do by another human, we're like, uh-uh. It's just ingrained. However, if we are given the space to be able to discover it and unlock it for ourselves, then we have greater ownership. I want that for the conversations that I have with people, for them to walk away and go, I'm going to do this because I'm going to do this, not because Kylie said it was a really good idea. But I want to encourage you in this space to ask the beautiful question. Now, put a dancing person up there, because in coaching, it's that idea of you don't quite know where the conversation's going to go. It's that sense of this dance of it could go this way, it could go that way, not quite sure what's going to happen or where it's going to go. Be curious and okay with not knowing the outcome, because release yourself. You don't have to. Ask the beautiful question that curiously dances with them for them to figure out what's going on for them and God and their family and their leadership and their work. So ask the beautiful, unknowing, curious, dance in the moment with them and be okay that you don't have the answer for them. That is a significant gift that you can offer the people in your life group, your spouse, people that you work with, your kids. I do this with my kids. Like, seriously, it works with most children. My son is 16. Doesn't matter what question I ask, how powerful or awesome my question is, I'm still going to get, 16-year-old boy. He'll grow and talk to me again soon. So this might not work a whole lot with teenage. It does, actually. It does. Actually, we did actually do some coaching around him, he's just here, year 11, so around the VCE space. We actually sat in this spot with him, and he now has greater. We disagreed with his subject choice, Ads and I, and we kind of had that conversation with him, but we used the coaching conversation with him, and he still chose and owned it, and he has stepped up because he owns it. It's his decision. Quite possibly he's going to go, I'll show you, Mum and Dad. But he actually has full ownership of his decision, because we're able to create a conversation with him where he had full buy-in on the decisions that he made. I want to talk a quick model with you, and then I'm going to get you to do some of this in pairs. It's a very simple conversation model of coaching. And it's easy because it's called CAP. So it's easy to remember. Put your coaching cap on. So the first part is to connect. Now, we don't turn up to a conversation and go, hi, what do you want to talk about today? It's like, ew, it doesn't work. It doesn't fit. There has got to be some rapport in there. How you going? How's life? How's your family? How are the kids? What's going on? It's that rapport-building connection spot in there. So you've got to build connect. You can't just sit in, what do you want to talk about? There is a second part of connect. I'm going to come back to that later on. The second bit is awareness. for them, not for you. Hang on, I've got to flick. Discovery is the focus here. So you're asking questions from different angles and perspectives and listen. This is the spot where you do the dance and you don't quite know what's going to happen and ask the beautiful questions. But you're asking questions to increase their awareness, to get the cloud that's in their mind and get some clarity in there. And the third part is action. What are you actually going to do? If you've done connect and awareness, you have had a sensational conversation, but you've not done coaching. Because coaching is about action. What are you going to do from the conversation that we've had today? What's the first next step? What are you going to do with your family? What are you going to do with your workspace? What are you actually going to do? So it's this next step spot. Now, the second part, because remember we spoke earlier about it being an intentional conversation? I missed that one. I'm going to skip that one. You'll have, I'll give this to you guys so you've got all of that. So when you have the relational, it's not just a once-off, it's an ongoing conversation with someone. So when you do this conversation again, they've come up with their action steps. In your connect, you're going to ask them, how did it go? Last time you said you were going to talk to your wife about da-da-da-da-da. What happened? How did it go? There's some accountability that actually sits in this, but you're not asking. You're asking because you love them and you actually genuinely want to figure out how they've gone and what's happened. So I'm going to get you in pairs and you are going to have about 7 minutes each to do this. So it's going to be very, very speed coaching. So, yeah, not speed dating, sorry. The question is, where could you use coaching skills in your context? I want you to do the connect, the awareness, and get them to an action step. Connect, awareness, and action step. So you're starting with, how are you doing? Then you go, hey, where could you use coaching skills in your context? Okay, I'm going to call you at the 5 minute mark to let you know that you've got 2 minutes left, and then I'm going to get you to swap over and do it again. So I want you each to have a go at this. Some people learn by doing, some people learn by receiving. So we need to actually give each person a go at this. Now remember, at the start of the conversation, I told you about my family, that we are adventurous and we give things a crack. This is the moment that I'm giving you that DNA. It's okay to give things a crack here. It's okay to ask a dud question. It's okay to go, I don't know what question to ask. This is the spot that you can do that easily, freely, with permission to give it a go. So find a partner and work out who's going to be the coach and who's going to be the coachee. I'll call you at 5 minutes, and then at 7 minutes, you're going to swap. So 5 minutes is just your warning that it's nearly the end. 7 minutes swap, 5 and 2 again. All right, find a partner. Off you go. 2 minutes left of that conversation. 2 minutes left of that conversation. Okay. Well done. Well done. Can I have all of the coachees standing for me? Every coachee who... You were the one that was talking the most. So the coachee, the one that was talking the most, can you stand? Okay. There's two reasons I do this. One, because it forces the conversation to stop. And two, coachees, give your coach a massive hand. All right. They did it first. That's not easy. Okay. Now, you're going to swap over. Okay. 5 minutes on the other side. Off you go. 5 minutes on the other side. Okay. You've got 2 minutes left of that conversation. 2 minutes. Okay. Well done. Can I again have coachees? Can you stand? Coachees, can you stand? Yeah, give your coach a big hand. Well done. You gave it a crack, and I'm very proud of you to be able to do that. Now, what I do ask just in the last couple of moments before we finish up is that I don't go home or to your life group or to your leadership conversations and just start this. Let them know you're changing your conversation and that you want to give it a crack. Say, Kylie told me to give it a crack. And you're like, okay. Just say, listen, I'm trying some new ways of changing my conversations. Do you mind if we try a different way? Seek permission, because if you turn up and you suddenly do a different type of conversation, they're going to go, what happened to you? So let them know and then seek permission to have a change of conversation with them. What I did figure out, actually Adam told me, plan, not action. Okay, just a different model that I use sometimes. So P fits more with cap, yeah? Otherwise it's like car, it doesn't really work. So cap for put the coaching cap on, put a different conversation cap on. So that's the conversations I'm encouraging you with. There was there's a coach in the USA that did some research around the questions that Jesus asked. And in the Gospels, Jesus asks 339 questions. I encourage you, do a Google of this guy called Bob Tide, T-I-E-D-E, and get his 339 questions that he asks, that Jesus asks. Because Jesus asks some very profound and powerful questions. And we should be asking great questions too. Can I pray for you as we finish up today? Lord, thank you that you are the best conversationalist. You're the best listener. You hear our words that are spoken and the words that are unspoken. You bring challenge and life and light to us. And so, Lord, for these incredible leaders that are here tonight, Lord, would you stretch them and grow them in actually changing their conversation in a way that changes the relationships that they're in, that empowers the person that's on the other side of the table, to see them flourish and thrive and be released into your calling, to fully live out your calling. Lord, for each one here, would you strengthen them, equip them, and encourage them in their positions and the roles that they have. We thank you. We love you. In the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.